Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, DJ, joined by Joshua. What?
Not Josh Lee Kwai. Josh Murphy, although you probably know me better as Murph. I'm an editor here at the Command Zone and Game Nights. And we've been doing a lot of editing recently.
Josh, do you know why? We have so much cool stuff coming out.
We do.
And right now, we're going to share with you our pre-con guide for the Boros Artifacts deck. It's this awesome Lorehold Legacies deck. And
oh, yeah.
We have Murph here because, Murph, you designed this upgrade guide, right?
Yes, I did. I did not design the deck. I designed the upgrade guide.
So you're an expert on this. You picked which cards to take out, what cards to put in. Mm-hmm. You've analyzed the deck. Have you played it?
I have.
Have you played it in an upcoming episode of Extra Turns?
I will, yes.
Keep an eye out for a new episode of Extra Turns where we battle these upgraded pre-constructed decks against each other. It is a fun time.
It's going to be great.
And so I'm super glad that you've joined us here. Just a little bit of a breakdown. What are we doing here? Well, we're taking the pre-constructed deck that you can get right now, and we're going to figure out how it plays. And most importantly, how to bring it up to speed. What 10 cards to put in and what 10 cards to pull out so that you can take it to any commander table and have it play like a really well-tuned deck.
And not just that, we're going to be taking a look at the value of the deck, a breakdown of all the different pieces in the deck. But before we do that, we have to do some sponsor callouts. So head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone for all your Magic-related needs. They've got all the Strixhaven stuff, Strixhaven Commander products, basically anything you could ever want or need for Magic. It's there, cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Once you have all of your cards together, you're going to want to put them in the best sleeves possible. Check out Ultra Pro Sleeves. They make amazing sleeves. They have the highest quality of protection, and they also have got really great looking playmats, really solid deck boxes like the Satin Towers out there.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure to check out Ultra Pro products. And finally, one more way to support the Command Zone podcast is directly
through Patreon. And Patreon has all sorts of awesome perks. We have a Discord that you can join at the $2 tier, and you can join that Discord, and me and DJ are in there plenty of times. You can talk to Josh, Jimmy, anybody of the Command Zone crew, and a bunch of other wonderful people are in there to answer any of your questions, help you out with deck tips. It's a wonderful time.
Remember that Extra Turns episode that's coming up? As a patron, you'll get to see that early before anyone else. So definitely a thing to check out. And one other perk of the Patreon is that we call out one lucky patron every episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Scott Sotka.
Scott.
You rock.
Thanks, Scott. All right. Let's launch into this Lorehold pre-con Boros Artifacts upgrade guide. Look, we're going to get 10 cards in, 10 cards out. We're going to keep the budget to $25, $30. Mm-hmm. We don't want to spend too much to really get to playing this deck. But before we do that, we got to understand the deck and we got to take a look at these commander cards.
Yeah. So let me read the first one. This is Osgir the Reconstructor. So he is a 4-mana 4/4 legendary creature with vigilance. You can pay 1, sacrifice an artifact. Target creature you control gets +2/+0 until end of turn. Or you can pay X tap, exile an artifact card with mana value X from your graveyard, and create 2 tokens that are copies of the exiled card, activate only as a sorcery.
That sounds pretty good. A sacrifice outlet and a thing to do with artifacts in your graveyard, all built into the Command Zone.
Yeah, so not a bad choice. What else we got, DJ?
Okay, I've got the other Boros commander in the pre-con, and it's Alibu?
Alibu?
Yes, I think
that's right.
Alibu. Alibu, Ancient Witness, is 3 red-white for a 4/5 legendary artifact creature golem. Other artifact creatures you control have haste, and whenever one or more artifact creatures you control attack, Alibu, Ancient Witness, deals X damage to any target, and you scry X, where X is the number of tapped artifacts you control.
That's really interesting. So it cares about artifact creatures. It cares about artifact creatures attacking, and then it does damage, and it also scries.
It does damage also based on the number of artifacts, not just the ones that are tapped through attacking.
Oh, not just your artifact creatures, any number of artifacts.
So you can tap some mana, attack with a Thopter, and do more than just one damage. It can actually send that damage a lot of different places too. And also the scry too. That seems pretty solid. Feels a little bit more Boros, right?
Like
more attacky, like you attack and it deals damage, gives things haste to attack.
Yeah.
The one that you read feels Boros too, because it's got that pumping power, but it definitely is a little bit more of an engine piece, huh?
Yeah, it seems like a little bit more of a value engine, like something we would see from Simic or some of the other color combinations.
I like seeing that in Boros for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Those are the only new Boros commanders, but we got a few other legendaries that we want to call out.
Yeah. So the first one is Lashiel Clockwork Scholar. He's 2 and a white, 2/4, legendary creature Elephant Artificer. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to attacking artifact creatures you control. Whenever one or more artifact creatures enter the battlefield under your control, draw a card, but this ability triggers only once each turn. So that's got a lot of interesting writers on it.
So I like the idea of drawing it. Can I just focus on the drawing a card? Like, I like that part.
I like that part too, but you can only, it says one or more, first of all, whenever the artifacts enter the battlefield, but also says you can only do it once each turn.
I mean, am I really going to get upset that white's giving me a card a turn, even if it's only one? Really wish it would be like, just draw as many number of artifacts enter the battlefield, just draw that many cards?
Yeah, I kind of wish that. Maybe that's the answer.
I do too. But I actually think that it's fine. I feel like you can trigger this often. You can always be always drawing a card. And of course, it's got that classic Boros, even though it's only mono white, way to facilitate attacking. Like your attacking creatures can tangle a little bit better. They don't take combat damage. Yeah. That Iris sort of effect on there.
I think this seems to go a little bit closer to Alibu, and we want to have artifact creatures. We want to have them attack. And we get payoffs for that.
Yeah, I can see that, how those two kind of go together a little bit better. Doesn't really facilitate the engine as much, although you do put artifact tokens on the battlefield, mm-hmm. and that would trigger this and draw a card.
That's true.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's probably going to go in a lot of decks just because it says draw a card on it in white, right?
Yeah, it's only 3 mana. It's not bad.
Yeah, pretty good. Okay. I have another 3 mana creature, legendary creature. Layla, the Blade Reforged. 2 and a red for a 2/2 legendary creature, Spirit Warrior with haste. Whenever... Layla? Is this really how Layla is actually spelled? And I just don't know how to read. Layla. And you're like, DJ, it's just Layla. That's a normal name. It's not a weird magic name. Okay. The Blade Reforged attacks. Exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. Hmm. Impulse draw on an attack.
I like
pretty
it.
Cool. Whatever you exile one or more cards from your library and or your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
Interesting.
So I like impulse draw. It stinks that it has to go into combat to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you can't reliably get it every single turn. But I actually think that this can get really big, really fast. There's a lot of different ways to exile cards off the top of your library, exile things from your graveyard. So I think that this is going to be easier to attack with than you might think. And it's card draw, even if it's impulsive. I kind of like it. Yeah, comes down fast too.
Yeah, and it has haste. It's got haste.
Like 3 mana haste attacker, like, and it immediately becomes a 3/3.
Yep.
That actually seems aggressive, but also has that card draw factor on there. I like it.
I like it too.
Okay, so those are the legendary creatures. There are some other legendaries in there, but those are reprints. These are the new ones that we're excited about and the ones that are kind of going to inspire our deck building. Josh, are you a connoisseur of throwing the papers?
Not very much, but I sure can try. Are we throwing forward or backwards?
Well, okay, I'm a big fan of the floaty forward that loops back on you and doesn't go off the table.
Haha, I mean, off the table.
That's my style. We'll get more in later.
Excellent.
Okay.
So, yeah, before we go into that, two of these legendary creatures, Lashiel and Layla, those are both monocolor creatures, so they can't be the commanders of the deck. Only Oskir and Alibu can be the commanders of the deck. So
that's right.
Those are the two that we'll be deciding on later on.
So as we go through this next section, we're thinking, well, which one of these Boros commanders can sort of...
Lorehold.
Lorehold commanders is going to be helming this deck. But... before we do, we got to go through the stats section. the stats section.
That was fun. I like that.
All right, Murph, take us through the stats of this deck.
Okay, so we have 16 ramp pieces, which is pretty good. Lots of solid artifact ramp. We have 8 pieces of card draw. 9 of those could put an artifact into the graveyard while drawing you a card. So
is nine in the place where you want to be in your decks?
I mean, I would like a little bit more, honestly.
So normally when we're doing these card draw spells, we don't really count cantrips as much.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't really count something like a Mind Stone, you know, that just kind of like sacrifices itself and draws a card. We really want real card draw generating value. So does it make up for the fact that we have so many of these things that just maybe cantrip or put artifacts into our graveyard? Like, is it enough of a graveyard theme that generates us enough value?
Well, I think it depends on your choice of commander, right? Because if we're going with Oscar, I think absolutely that is very helpful. I'd still like to put in a little bit more, but I think we're almost there because you can reuse those cards. So say you have the Mind Stone, you could crack the Mind Stone and then use Oscar's second ability, get 2 Mind Stones back. You can use them for mana or crack them. It's just good value there.
Okay.
But with Alibu, I'm not sure if that's actually the case.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so maybe definitely not enough card draw when it comes to Alibu, but maybe it could fly for Huskath.
Yeah. To be fair, Alibu does have that scry ability.
Ooh,
it's
that's
not
true.
It's not raw card draw, but it does have a little bit more card selection.
Okay. And then going on to our interaction, we have 11 pieces of targeted removal.
Seems like kind of a lot.
That does seem like a lot.
Yeah, they usually put a lot of more targeted removal than Wraths in these pre-constructed decks because they encourage that interaction. They don't want to just keep Wrathing over and over and over again.
Got it. How many Wraths do we have in this deck?
We have 4, which honestly is also kind of a lot.
This actually feels like a pretty well-balanced deck. Like maybe like 8 might not be exactly what we need, but we can notice other engines that exist in the deck. It feels balanced. Am I right?
You're not crazy. Yeah. We have a lot of ramp. We have a decent amount of card draw, a lot of targeted removal, but the board wipes, that seems pretty on point, pretty fair.
Okay, so let's get into some more stats related specifically to artifacts and the way that this deck plays.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have artifact sacrifice outlets. That can matter a lot in decks like these. We have 6. So okay. Is that including Oscar as one of them?
It is.
It is, okay.
Yeah, because whether he's in at the helm or in the 99, he's going to be in there, hopefully. Yeah. And then also we have different recurring artifacts that have that like to be sacked or recast or put back from the graveyard. Usually they have dies triggers or ETB triggers. We have 15 of those.
15?
15 of those.
That's a lot.
So I think that we're slowly seeing this lean more and more away from my boy Alibu.
Yeah.
And more towards the value engine of Oscar.
Yeah, I think Oscar might end up giving us exactly what we want as far as sacrifice outlets and a payoff for all that stuff that ends up getting sacrificed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So keeping in mind the types of artifacts that can end up in the graveyard, we want to pay attention to what types of cards there are. So the amount of low mana value artifacts, there's 6 mana value artifacts, 2 or less. Cards like Ancient Den or Darksteel Citadel, those lands, Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, the Mind Stone that I mentioned, those could be cards that are really good for getting in at low mana value and then recurring back.
That doesn't seem like a ton, honestly, especially if we're considering Ancient Den, Darksteel Colossus, and Great Furnace to be among those, because those are just lands.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I'd take two land tokens.
I think they're definitely good. But
and then on the other end of the spectrum, you have to think about the big things that you can cheat into play and ways that you can get that into play. Because of course, we're also running cards like, you know, Wake the Past and Duretti and Felden. So if you get a big thing into the graveyard, you can sort of cheat that back out again.
Yeah.
You know, even with your commander, you're not really cheating mana cost, but you are getting 2. So you're like doubling up. You know, you're kind of cheating the mana cost a little bit. Because you're getting 2 for 1, you know?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay. So we're going to dwell on all of those stats.
Stats.
I think we're leaning in one direction. But before we talk about which commander is going to helm this, let's talk about the deck value, what this is worth, what the notable reprints are.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing to note is that this only takes into account the value of the reprints, not the new cards.
Correct.
New cards have all their own values and all their own stuff. And of course, we calculate the reprint value at the time of recording, which is before all of this has been out and the market does all those those crazy things. But that's actually good because we have a single data point that compares it to, you know, previous pre-constructed decks that we also gathered the data from before the release of the deck.
Absolutely.
So what's the reprint value of this thing?
The reprint value is, drumroll please, $103.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Okay. I'm kind of happy about that. $103.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this reprint value centered in a couple cards or is it just everything a $2 card? What is it?
So we have 14 in total, some of $2 and up cards. So that's a decent amount of, that's a pretty good spread, right? 14 cards that are $2 or more.
Okay.
That's stuff that is going to need a reprint at some point. So I'm glad that those are reprinted here. And in total, that's $80.86.
Okay. So only $20 of less than $2 chaff in there.
Yeah.
That actually seems like a good amount of solid reprint cards.
Yeah. And that's a little bit more value than we usually get in these pre-cons. So I'm impressed.
I think that the outlier comes in the next data point right there. Because we have three cards that are worth $5 or more. Those are kind of like the chase cards that people get excited about because there's a big money card included in the pre-con. Yep. And in this one, we have Hellkite Tyrant at $24.99, Thousand Year Elixir at $22.99, and then you go way down to Combustible Gear Hulk at $5.50.
I can't believe Hellkite Tyrant is $24.99 right now.
It's crazy, but these are big money reprints. We haven't seen big money reprints like this in a while. And so part of me is excited that we're getting 20 plus dollar reprints. I'm like, yes, thumbs up, more of this, please.
Yes.
But then the other side is like, well, a lot of the deck's value, half of it about, is tied up in these two cards, you know, and those, so there are risks when it comes to those kinds of, that kind of value being tied up in so few cards.
That's true, but the rest of the deck doesn't have no value completely. It's not only these couple cards, it's just a majority of it is tied up in these couple cards.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and read off those cards that are worth more than $2. Ancient Den, Darksteel Mutation, Boros Charm, Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, Solemn Simulacrum, Doretti Scrap Savant, Sculpting Steel, and Steel Overseer. All of these are above $2. And they sound like solid cards. A lot of cards that I run in all sorts of decks, not just Boros-specific decks.
Yeah, the $5 and over, as well as the $2 and over categories, those are all cards that see play. People want those cards. And so it's really good to see these being printed here because hopefully we'll just get more into the market and more people have access to those cards.
Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited that Hellkite Tyrant got reprinted because honestly, it's a fun card. Like first off, you can create a ton of artifacts and just win the game because Hellkite Tyrant reads, if you have 20 or more artifacts, you win the game.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is very cool.
Very fun when you do it.
But also, if you smack your opponent with it, you get to steal all their artifacts. That's like one of the most fun things in Commander is stealing people's artifacts. Oh, man. So Hellkite Tyrant is just super fun to play with. So I'm glad that there's way more of them in the world. Oh, wait, more people are going to steal my artifacts.
Yeah, just be sure that if you're playing a Hellkite Tyrant in an artifact deck, watch out for people cloning it, because that makes me sad.
Yes.
I've had that happen to me multiple times.
I'm going to clone it in a deck. One of the cards in here is the mirror.
Yeah, please don't do that to me, DJ. Please don't.
That's your own creature. You can attack with that. Anyways, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so some interesting reprint value in here, but you know, we're here to upgrade this deck. So what commander are we focusing on?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit before, but I think Ozgear's got to be our choice, right? Because the two commanders just go into completely different directions. One cares specifically about artifact creatures, and you want to attack with those artifact creatures. Whereas a lot of the cards in the deck... Here, let me do that too. There we go. A lot of cards in the deck seem to care more about the value, the recursion, that we want to dump stuff into the graveyard and we either want to get value off of that or reanimate big stuff that you have dumped into your graveyard.
Yeah, so over a dozen cards that kind of get value when it comes into play or wants to leave the battlefield too. That seems like it's leaning towards your commander a little bit more.
Yeah, and Oscar cares about stuff entering the battlefield and leaving because of his text. He does both of those things.
That's awesome.
With artifacts.
If you're sad that Alibu, Ancient Witness, is not going to be the focus of this deck, fear not. Go to the Jumbo Commander YouTube channel, and I will deck tech and upgrade this deck with Alibu at the helm and show you how to, you know, upgrade this around this commander.
Ooh, I'm excited to see that video then, DJ.
All right. Well, right now, one thing I'm excited about is some of the singles that come in this deck. Ooh. And there are some really spicy ones, and I love them. And I think that you need to share with us some of the best cards that come in this pre-con.
All right. So first up, we have a spicy one. These are all spicy, actually. But first one is particularly spicy. Archaeomancer's Map. 2 and a white artifact. When Archaeomancer's Map enters the battlefield, search your library for up to 2 basic planes cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle your library. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, if that player controls more lands than you, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Wow.
Jimmy and I geeked out about this card already. I love it. Because 3 mana, draw 2, drawing lands is still drawing cards. Yep. That's a fine rate. But then you get this static ability of always being able to ramp. And it's also, I mean, just imagine that this is like a Cultivate or Kadama's Reach, which is a very playable green card. And then it's 3 mana. You get 2 cards and then you easily, you're going to put one onto the battlefield. This is so good.
Yeah. This map is basically Cultivate for white. And plus it's an artifact. So it synergizes even better with the rest of the cards in the deck because
it just keeps on giving.
We care about artifacts. When you run out of lands, you can sacrifice it or you can bring it back and reanimate it.
Oh my gosh. You get back 2 tokens of it and then you'd get 4 lands and you get to put those onto the battlefield faster.
Poor DJ's heart.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love this card. This card's great.
Oh man, it's so great. All right, I've got another one that you've picked out that is particularly spicy. It's Monologue Tax. Mm-hmm. 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts their second spell each turn, you create a treasure token.
That seems pretty good. We know Smothering Tithe is a very, very good card, and this does something similar for Manaless.
I think it does a little bit of a reduced effect. I don't think it's quite as strong as Smothering Tithe, but it doesn't have to be. Smothering Tithe is crazy.
Smothering Tithe is a little good.
It's a little good. This is awesome, and I love treasure tokens. I think they synergize with this deck really well.
Yep. More treasures, the better. It ramps. They're artifacts for you to sacrifice, bring back. Love it. Love it. All right. Next, we have Battle Mage's Bracers. 2 and a red artifact equipment. Equipped creature has haste. Whenever an ability of equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, you can pay 1. If you do, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy with equipped 2.
Okay. So this is an interesting Illusionist Bracers kind of effect.
Yeah. So it's very similar to Illusionist Bracers. But
which, by the way, is like an $8 or $9 card.
Yeah, it's getting up there.
Yeah.
But notably with this one, you have the downside of you have to pay 1 in order to do it. Mm. But you have the upside of it gives things haste.
Oh, you get to do your thing faster.
You get to do your thing faster. So oftentimes activated abilities of commanders are going to be tap abilities. Not always, but a lot of times they will be. Specifically on our commander Oskir, that second ability is a tap ability. And oftentimes we'll just want to cast him from the command zone, equip something to him, and activate his ability. Mm. And with the Battle Mage's Bracers, not only do we get to activate his ability immediately, you just pay 1 more and get double the amount of tokens.
That's very cool. So I think I like this. The idea that you are sacrificing mana for speed, you know, and I think that in this deck, we have a lot of ramp. We talked about all the artifact ramp that we have there. So maybe we can sacrifice a little bit of mana that slows us down to be able to, you know, activate our commander's powerful ability a little bit faster.
Yeah. And not just activate it, but juice it up
like crazy.
Very good.
I think that goes along really well with this one. Why don't you read
1,000-year Elixir. You may activate abilities of creatures you control as though those creatures had haste. You can pay 1 and tap to untap target creature.
So this is really similar too, because it activates it at haste, and then you can pay 1 to sort of copy. I mean, you know, just
you have to have another artifact.
You have to get another artifact and stuff like that. But really, like these seem to really synergize well with that specific commander. Now I know why you picked it, because like it feels like this deck really matches that commander really well.
Yeah, absolutely. It wants these kinds of pieces to go with the commander so that you can get the maximum value out of it, and you're always doing something.
Well, I got the last best card in the deck with Scrap Trawler. Ooh. I love Scrap Trawler so much. 3 mana for a 3/2 artifact creature construct. Whenever Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with lesser mana value.
That is pretty good. It seems like a little bit of a nombo at face value with Oskir, because Oskir is going to be exiling stuff from your graveyard. But Scrap Trawler gets things back to your hand. What's with that, DJ?
I think that there's just enough churning of artifacts that really it doesn't matter. You're going to have plenty of stuff to get back and plenty of stuff to exile, but it might be something to think about. You know, you have to decide whether you're going to get your soul ring back to cast it or whether you're going to copy it again with your commander.
Yeah, very, very true. But yeah, with Oscar, unless you have something like a 1,000-year elixir or whatnot, you're only activating his ability once a turn. So having stuff like Scrap Trawler and other types of things in there that duplicate the effects kind of ish, but get other artifacts back to your hand, they're still pretty good.
I like it because yeah. It ultimately, you don't always have to do something around the commander. If you're fitting the theme of the deck, then you're doing the right thing. And so exactly. Some redundancy like the Scrap Trawler seems awesome. Those are some great cards, not only in this deck, but also just in general Boros cards.
Yeah, a lot of them are new cards too.
I know.
Woo. Also cool.
Love it. Okay, we're going to go on to the cards that you're adding to this deck. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break. Here's some ads.
Awesome.
Welcome back. We are talking about the Lorehold pre-constructed deck. I'm joined here by Murph, and he's going to talk about what 10 cards he added to ramp up this deck, make it really playable at any of your commander tables. So first off, let's talk about the rules. You couldn't just add any card, any cost whatsoever. You had a budget of between $25 and $30. Look, we know that you could spend $1,000 and make this deck crazy, you know, but you want to be able to play with this immediately and get instant value. And so drop $30, make this great. So Murph, you did it.
Yep, I did it. I solved the formats. So we have 10 cards that we're going to be adding. So first category is we want to go faster with more mana. And a little bit of haste as well. But to start off with the mana, I have Talisman and Conviction and Boros Signet that were added. And so you're probably like, Murph, why the heck did you just add boring old Talisman and Boros Signet? Well, because of our commander, we went with Oscar, obviously. We're going to be getting those artifacts back from the graveyard, more likely than not. And so having lower costed mana rocks is going to end up paying dividends because paying two to get back two talismans is way better than tapping three to get back a three mana rock that just taps for one mana anyway. It's not that great. Not much value.
I'm just a little bit surprised that these weren't in the pre-con originally.
Yeah, I think
like they feel like they match really well.
Yeah, I think some of the other decks had the talismans or had the signets in them, but for whatever reason, this deck doesn't. I'm not sure why.
Interesting. Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
But you're right. Like, if you have a three mana rock, that value isn't as great as being able to ramp your commander out early. Because by the way, a four CMC commander means that if you're ramping on two and casting your commander earlier, that's good. We know we want ramp because his ability is very mana hungry, especially if we have big creatures. So I like this inclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. We absolutely have to have two mana rocks if we want our commander on turn three. Because if we ramp on turn three, well, our commander's not coming out on turn four. Until turn four anyway, and he's a four drop. So the ramp's not really doing a whole lot for you.
You didn't stop there.
I didn't stop there.
You have a little bit more ramp.
So I added Thran Dynamo. It's a four colorless mana. Tap, add three colorless mana to your mana pool. So as I said before, having efficient mana rocks really ends up paying dividends in this deck because with Oscar, you can end up copying them. Thran Dynamo is very, very efficient for what it does. Four mana gets three colorless mana off of it. But what if you pay four mana and get two Thran Dynamos because of your commander?
I mean, those are the ways to skyrocket you into big mana, and there's some fun big mana plays in this deck, so I'm glad that we have that.
Yeah, absolutely. That just gets you ahead super fast. And then I also added Lightning Greaves. Good old Lightning Greaves, two mana, equip creature gets haste and shroud, equip zero. The reason that I really wanted this Lightning Greaves is because, once again, it's a cheap way to give haste, and just having two mana artifacts with your commander is wonderful.
You also highlighted 1,000-year Elixir and Battle Mage Bracers, and you kind of said that the haste on that is really strong.
The haste is very relevant.
So it makes sense that you have something else that gives haste and protection, because if you're building so much around your general, you definitely want to protect it.
And having it cost zero is very relevant, because oftentimes you'll want to put it onto your commander just after you've cast him, pay the mana in order to exile something from your graveyard, get an artifact creature onto the battlefield, and then you can just swap the Lightning Greaves over to that and give what you just reanimated haste.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Lots of spice.
All right. We've got a little bit of the next category is graveyard shenanigans, graveyard redundancy.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about how we want more graveyard redundancy. If we don't have our commander, we still want to be able to do something with all the artifacts that we're going to be dumping into our graveyard. So I added Goblin Welder. So one red mana. Tap, choose target artifact a player controls and target artifact card in that player's graveyard. If both targets are still legal as this ability resolves, that player simultaneously sacrifices the artifact and returns the artifact card to the battlefield.
That's a lot of words for switch your artifacts, flippity flop them. That should be a keyword, flippity flop.
Yep. Yeah, it should be tap flippity flop artifacts from your graveyard into the battlefield.
I mean, I like that because we've talked about big things in the graveyard, getting things back. You could have treasures on the battlefield. You could have, we talked about cards that trigger when they leave the battlefield, trigger when they come in.
Yeah, there's cards that do care about leaving the battlefield and we want to get rid of them.
Seems awesome.
Yep.
No brainer.
For one red mana, absolute gem. Another absolute gem, Goblin Engineer, one in a red, creature Goblin Artificer. When Goblin Engineer enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact card, put it into your graveyard, then shuffle your library. And you can pay a red and tap, sacrifice an artifact to return target artifact card with converted mana cost, three or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you can
pop quiz. Yep. What are you putting in your graveyard? Go.
It really depends on the situation. Right?
Ooh, so it's truly toolboxy.
It's very toolboxy because with its second ability, you can recur something with converted mana cost of three or less. But you don't have to tutor for something with converted mana cost of three or less. You can tutor for any artifact.
Oh, so basically like late game, you're getting something huge to then double up. Early game, you're getting like a land or a soul ring or something like that to be able to get back or make two copies of it with your commander.
Yeah, because it seems absolutely great to just play this, tutor a soul ring into your graveyard, and then activate your commander to get two soul rings onto the battlefield. Like, that's just great value.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I'll take that.
I want that. Yeah. Okay. So that seems awesome.
Goblin Engineer, definitely one of the better includes.
All right. Also from the graveyard, we mentioned a lot of big stuff and there's some big stuff in the deck, you know, big things to do, but it feels like there might not be a critical mass of big things.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a little bit more oomph. And so a great card to give a little bit more oomph is Phyrexian Triniform. 9 mana artifact creature golem. When it dies, create 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature tokens with Encore 12. The Encore, you probably won't be activating a ton of time.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's
you're doubling up Thrand Dynamos.
That's true.
When you're getting 2 Thrand Dynamos on the battlefield, like, yes, you can 12 that for sure. This is a big mana deck.
It is a big mana deck.
I love it. I think that even if you Encore, I mean, it just seems fun.
Yeah.
I like cheating into play. I like Encoring it. I like
the synergy. You can reanimate it with your commander.
Yeah, of putting it back with your commander. Seems great.
You can Goblin Weld it into play over and over.
Oh, back and forth. It just goes back and forth and just keeps making more and more of the
more
things.
Golems.
Unreal.
Yeah, that card's great.
Okay. And then finally, we have like the mana ramp category that you kind of put sort of the big recursion engines. And then you felt like you wanted a little bit more support when it came to draw. So what do we got here?
Yeah. So felt like this deck needed just a little bit more oomph in the card draw category. It wasn't a slouch to begin with, but I think this really helps tip it over the edge and keeps you going. So first we have Skyscanner. It's a 3 mana artifact creature, Thopter, flying. When it enters the battlefield, draw a card, and it's a 1/1. So it seems a little bit innocuous, right?
Cute little card. It replaces itself, right?
Yeah, but it replaces itself, and this little guy does a great job just sitting there. He can block flyers, and oftentimes you're going to be wanting to Goblin Weld things, get things back into the graveyard, get it back out of the graveyard, make token copies of this, and it can block, and then it draws cards while doing it. It's just a great target to be constantly
reanimating. I'm not mad. He draws a card.
Yeah, he draws a card.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, worst comes to worst, you never reanimate him, he'll draw you a card. All right, next we have Mishra's Bauble. 0 mana artifacts. Tap, sacrifice Mishra's Bauble. Look at the top card of target player's library. Draw a card at the beginning of the next upkeep. Now, this is the type of effect that I honestly think needs more of in the deck, right? Because we had mentioned before that there weren't a whole lot of 2 mana value cards, artifacts,
or
less.
Yeah, you're right. There were only like 6 or whatever cards that could really, you could get back early on.
Yeah, so having cards like Mishra's Bauble will help you cantrip, and this one being 0 mana specifically is very, very good with your commander because you just cast your commander, throw some haste on it. You don't even need additional mana. you just pay zero and get two copies of this.
A lot of people like this kind of card because it essentially makes your deck a 98 card deck, yeah. You know, because you just get it for free. It's just a free get to something else that you like a little bit better. But it definitely goes up in value when it synergizes with all the other artifact stuff that you have.
Yeah, oftentimes, like if you play it, it will replace itself. But if it sacrifices itself and you get to reanimate it with your commander, which it's zero mana, by the way, so you have to pay nothing to do it, just tap your commander, you'll get two more and get two more cards. So it's one mana or zero mana, draw three.
I can see how, like, you know, Skyscanner and the Mishra's Bauble and a lot of these other effects kind of come together to help you move through your deck pretty efficiently, get to those higher impact cards.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one is Tome of Legends. This is one of the Brawl precon cards. Two mana artifact, enters the battlefield with a page counter on it. Whenever your commander enters the battlefield or attacks, put a page counter on Tome of Legends. Pay one, tap, remove a page counter from Tome of Legends, draw a card.
Did you add this because it's like super flavorful for Lorehold?
No.
It's like page counters and I mean, it's like yes. A tomb and stuff like that.
I absolutely did that. I don't know what you're talking about. No, this card is great because once again, it's only two mana, but it'll enter the battlefield with a page counter on it, meaning that no matter what, it'll replace itself. So base level, two mana, it'll replace itself. Not a bad deal. But what you can do is you can sacrifice it and then with your commander, bring it back. What does it come back with? A page counter on it. And then you get two of them. So they each have a page counter on them. And then when your commander attacks or you cast your commander again, you get a page counter on each of them. So you can see where this is going. It just kind of...
So it kind of creates an engine that mm-hmm. gives you card advantage over a long amount of time, even though it might be a little bit clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll take a little bit of time, but it can provide some pretty mad value.
You know, I think that this commander could attack... It's got vigilance. It's a giant. It's only a 4-4, though. But I think you can definitely get in for some damage here and there.
Yeah.
I think that if it tapped to attack, everyone would be like, no way. Like, why would I do that? You know, I'm tapping this to get an artifact back. But vigilance, man, makes it work.
Yeah, oftentimes the play pattern with the commander will be, okay, well, it has vigilance, so I'm going to attack first. And once I'm done attacking, now I'll tap it and use its ability.
By the way, we forgot that you could always just like pump power like crazy.
That's true. Once you hit a lot of artifacts.
I was talking with Jimmy about the precon is that a lot of times in my Mardu artifacts deck, I have just a bunch of Thopters attacking or a bunch of creatures attacking.
Yeah.
And if you have this kind of effect, you're like, oh, you block this one, and this one. All right, sack that one. This one gets +6/+0.
And that'll trade more profitably or that'll like one-shot people sometimes if you have a critical mass. Makes
combat super difficult.
Yeah. Not to mention, it has a sacrifice ability on itself.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the cards you cut because obviously there's going to be a ton of great cards to add, but just telling you what cards to add without telling you what cards to take out, it isn't a lot of help. And mm-hmm. also finding out what cards might not be performing as well in this deck can help you guys evaluate better, understand the deck a little bit better.
Yep. So first up, we have Alabu Ancient Witness. Yeah, this is the other Lorehold's possible face commander.
Alabu, no.
Yeah, poor guy. He's getting cuts.
You just weren't attacking with enough creatures in the rest of the deck.
Yeah, you're just not attacking with enough creatures.
Got it.
You can be tapping artifacts sometimes, but it's not that helpful. You don't have a ton of artifact creatures. You have a decent amount, but honestly, he's just not efficient enough in order to make the cut.
Get out of here.
Sorry, Alabu.
Yeah.
All right, next we have Boros Locket. Three mana, tap, add a red or a white, and you can pay hybrid Boros mana. Tap, sacrifice Boros Locket to draw two cards. So I think they included this because they did want to do the thing where you can play it, you can sacrifice it for value, and then possibly make two more copies of it. The problem is it's very, very, very mana inefficient in order to do that.
Yeah, it feels clunky.
It's very clunky because you have to pay the three mana to play it, you have to pay four mana and tap it to sacrifice it the first time. Maybe you can sacrifice it with your commander, but that's not super helpful. And then you have to pay another three mana to get two copies of it. And then if you want to sacrifice that, you have to pay eight mana for those two.
No, yeah, trust me, your two mana rocks are way better. Speaking of clunky activated abilities.
Yep, Unstable Obelisk. Three mana, tap, add a colorless mana, pay seven, tap, sacrifice Unstable Obelisk, destroy target permanents. So as we mentioned before, the deck doesn't really have any shortage of targeted removal. We're pretty good in that regard. So paying seven mana and sacrificing it to destroy target permanent, it's pretty overcosted. And it's a three mana rock that only adds a colorless mana. It doesn't even add colored mana.
Get
out of here. All right. Next up, Key to the City. Two mana artifact. Two mana artifacts are good, but...
You made a mistake. Put it back in the deck.
Back in it goes. Tap, discard a card. Up to one target creature can't be blocked this turn. And whenever Key to the City becomes untapped, you may pay two. If you do, draw a card. So this one is fine-ish, but doesn't really synergize super great with the deck because we're not really attacking with one big thing. We're mostly attacking with smaller things.
We're not, and we're getting a lot of value. We're not really attacking that much at all.
And we're getting value off of playing artifacts and then sacrificing the artifacts. We don't really want to discard the artifacts directly to the graveyard. Mm. We can tutor to the graveyard, but discarding a card directly to the graveyard, not super helpful.
Yeah, I feel like on our commander, we have enough sacrifice outlets that we don't need a discard outlet too.
Yeah.
I also hate paying mana when it untaps. Because then it's like, I want to be able to use the cards that I drew, but I'm two mana down. So I've always found the play pattern of this to be a little bit annoying.
It's like Smothering Tithe. Whenever you have to be like,
are you going to compare this to Smothering Tithe?
No. The choice of when somebody else has a Smothering Tithe and you're like, I want to make all these plays, but I got to tie up this two mana. What should I do here? It's like that, but your own card's doing it.
Yeah, seriously. Do you ever pay the two?
I mean, sometimes.
Rarely. Everyone out there is like, everyone out there is like pretending they're a good person. They're like, of course I pay the two, but then you're like, never.
No. Never. All right, next up is Hellkite Igniter. 5 red. It's a dragon. Flying haste. Pay 1 red. Hellkite Igniter gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control. So, this is not the worst dragon in the world, but he's 7 mana.
He's 7 mana, big dumb flyer. I think that you can do better. Doesn't really synergize with the deck, right?
Yeah, you can't cheat him into play. You can't reanimate him. You just got to hard cast him for 7 mana and then wait to activate his abilities.
All right, let's see if this dragon's any better. Spoiler, he cut it too.
Horde Smelter Dragon, 4 red. It's 1 mana less. It might be better. 5/5 flyer. Pay 3 red, destroy target artifact. Horde Smelter Dragon gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is that artifact's mana value. What are you doing in here, dragon? We don't care about blowing up artifacts. We care about artifacts on our board.
You can blow up your own artifacts. It'll get it into the... No.
No, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That's awful.
Yeah. Usually when you want to get rid of something, you don't want to spend 10. Is that 10 mana to get rid of an artifact?
Yes.
I mean, just like you don't want your removal on the back of something so big and clunky. Like you want to get rid of it. You just want to cast it and kill it.
You know? It doesn't even get that big, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next up, Sanctum Gargoyle. 3 whites, flying, 2/3, artifact creature. When Sanctum Gargoyle enters the battlefield, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. So, it does what the deck
wants it to. It's an artifact creature!
But, yeah, once again, this is very, very mana intensive for what it does.
Look, if you compare it to Scrap Trawler.
Scrap Trawler's so much better.
Does it even compare?
So much better.
It just doesn't even compare to Scrap Trawler, to some of the cards. I mean, honestly, if you were talking about Recursion, you just added Goblin Engineer and Goblin Welder to the deck.
Yeah,
so much better. So like, it just feels like a huge upgrade. I agree completely.
Yep. Next up, Pia Nalar. 2 red. When Pia Nalar enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature token with flying. Pay 1 red. Target artifact creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. You can pay 1, sacrifice an artifact. Target creature can't block this turn. So I think the reason that this card was in here was because of the sacrifice and artifact clause. Because we do want to be sacrificing artifacts. Problem is, that ability is on our commander. And there's already other duplicate effects of sacrificing artifacts in there. Like the aforementioned Goblin Wielder. So it just doesn't really cut it.
Do you know what I like? I like the idea of you increasing the ramp amount to be able to go past our 3 drops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that this impact might be too small.
Yeah, it's just too small impact. Speaking of too small impacts, Jorkadine the Prevailer.
You just made so many enemies. Jorkadine is a majestic person. Okay.
All right. 5 mana, 5/4, legendary creature, first strike. Metalcraft. Creatures you control get +3/+0 as long as you control 3 or more artifacts.
It's so easy to have 3 or more artifacts. This is a huge +3/+0 anthem to everything.
Yeah.
Smash in.
No. So, Jorkadine in this deck, yeah, it could do things, but honestly, we want to be caring more about our value and reanimating things over and over again rather than bashing face.
Honestly,
can he get there? Yes, but there's better options.
It just makes sense because if we're cutting Alibu because we don't go wide enough, then we're also cutting Jorkadine because we just don't go wide enough.
Yeah, Jorkadine could be good in an Alibu deck. Not that great in an Oscar deck.
Yeah.
Yep. And for our last card, we have Rip Apart, a Strixhaven card. So red and a white, sorcery. Choose one, rip apart, deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker, or destroy target artifact or enchantment. It's flexible, so I do like that part about the card, but it's sorcery speed. And we already have a decent amount of targeted removal, so sorry, rip apart. We're going to have to rip you out of this deck. Slow clap.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. I was excited to see rip apart, but sorcery speed makes me sad.
It's, yeah, it's all right.
All right, so we've made our switch 10 in, 10 out.
Yep.
Good stuff. So how does the deck play? What do you think is like the play pattern? Walk us through this deck so we can get in, like see it in front of us so that we know what we're in for.
Yeah, so we did want the 2-mana ramp artifact so that we can get our commander out early, 3-mana, because the commander is really going to help us just keep generating value. If you have a 2-mana... artifact that generates mana, well, you can sacrifice that and get 2 back with your commander early on, and just doing stuff like that over and over can help generate enough mana that you can start doing bigger plays earlier than your opponents, hopefully.
What are you afraid of in this deck? Like, are you afraid of Vandalblast?
Very much so.
Are you afraid of Bane of Progress?
Very much so. Thankfully, your commander does have a sacrifice outlet on it for anything that'll exile artifacts. But no matter what, we do want to make a critical mass of artifacts. And if we make token copies of artifacts, we've already exiled our original artifact.
That kind of stinks. So you have the ability to rebuild because it's on your commander. But if you exile too many things, then it gets harder and harder to rebuild.
Yeah. So it's always a question of how much stuff do you want to keep in your graveyard versus how much stuff is going to stay on the battlefield. And it's a very interesting juggling act.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I also like decks where there's always something to do.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's always something to do in this deck?
Yeah, there's always something to do with this deck because it's very, very easy to fill your graveyard. You're always thinking like, I wish I had more mana because then I could do more stuff.
It feels like it's an engine deck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you usually win?
You can win with one of the big beaters like Phyrexian Triniform or the other big Griffin dude, just making multiple copies of those tends to be pretty good.
So oftentimes all you need to do is just get the right creature in your graveyard and then make multiple copies. And yes. Then those can just like lead you to victory.
Yeah. Or you can go wide. It's not quite as ideal, but you can.
Very cool.
You can do it.
I like the big smashy at the end of an engine. I like that a lot. It seems fun.
Yeah. Just like value, big creature, opponents die.
But also there's like that other hidden mode, like because we build the deck around value, but you could also just like, oh, I'm just going to Goblin Welder this 9/9 onto the battlefield on turn 3.
Yeah. So you could push it a little bit more in either of the directions, right? You could push it more into the value engine type thing, right? Or you could push it more into the, I want to be reanimating big things. Out of the box, the deck is pretty in the middle as far as that goes. But yeah, if you want to tune it, probably one way or the other is a good choice to make early on.
Awesome. Well, I think you did a great job with this deck. To the listeners, do you like the Lorehold Legacies deck? Did Murph make all the right choices with the 10 cards in and 10 cards out?
I think I did.
Tell us all why not in the comments down below.
Awesome. So, when you go to pick up whatever cards you might use to augment this wonderful deck, hopefully the 10 cards that I added.
When you get all exactly
10 those cards. 10 cards.
Only those.
Only those. You get them at cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's where you can go to get all of your singles, all your products, all the commander products you can get. You can buy these exact 10 cards that we've just recommended to you.
The perfect cards that you could get for this deck.
The perfect cards.
Only these 10.
Only these 10. You can get those at cardkingdom.com/commandzone. And another sponsor of the show is Ultra Pro. Ultra Pro has awesome sleeves, deck boxes, anything you could ever want or need to protect your stuff. They have all of the theme stuff for Strixhaven, all of the Lorehold sleeves. Yeah, they've got the sleeves specifically for Oskir because we went with the main commander of the set.
He does look cool. I would like to have this.
You can have matching sleeves.
On my battlefield right there.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, Ultra Pro always makes the best products. Ultra Pro Gloss stuff, also awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so make sure to stick with us because we have a lot of content coming out. This is Commander Christmas time, okay? Yep. We have deck upgrades and the main Strixhaven set and so much good stuff. And you're going to want to watch it, so make sure to like, subscribe, do all those YouTube things.
Our editing, graphics, and logistics team is Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, that's me, Jake Boss, Patrick Nahn, Jordan Pridgen, Arthur Meadowcraft, and Sam Waldo.
Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card Animations at Living Cards MTG.
This was fun, DJ. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to play more Commander cards and play this deck.
Deck and I want to play it more after this.
I know. It's great.
Let's do it.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Peace.
Good peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.